Good morning. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple. Do not measure it. For it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months." Bang! Bang! I really thought it was a shotgun blast right at my eardrum. It was one time that my teaching has been followed by a big bang. We were teaching in India, and a drum corps, along accompanied with fireworks, started playing immediately adjacent to the outdoor place where we were having a Bible study. Were they also celebrating Christ? No. Celebrating a neighbor's retirement. But it was amazingly loud, with a blasting crescendo of horns, with the reverberating beat to the drums, and the ongoing fanfare of fireworks. Yes, a lot of noise can drown out the preaching of the gospel. And yet, what can such bangs really accomplish? Our text presents the worship that packs a bang. The thousands of people that are flocking to mega churches, churches usually with stages rather than altars, with entertaining skits, clowns, bands, and psychobabble talks instead of law and gospel, demonstrate which worship man often thinks has the dynamic bang. But God in our text divides worshipers into two categories. Those who are trampling around outside the court, outside the temple of God, and those who are bowing down before the altar. The Lord says that it's only the latter that are measured as His people, that are part of His temple, and involved in that worship that packs a divine bang by bowing at the altar of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. You know, the Old Testament believers laid their sacrifices on an altar every day, year after year. And every time they committed some overt sin against man or God, special sacrifices were needed. And they never ended. This requirement for sacrificial payment was unceasing. And yet all of that was pointing ahead to the one sacrifice that ends them all. The one sacrifice for the sins of all the world, made for us by Christ on the cross. Yes, Jesus paid that price. Now, we don't have a physical altar here in our gym, so if we tried to make a sacrifice, Prof. Krantz wouldn't be too happy about the effect on the floor. But that's finally the point. We don't need to make a sacrifice anymore, because that one sacrifice for all time, for all people, has been made. So we're worshiping, yes, focused on an altar. The altar of Christ's empty cross, where He finished the payment and ascended into heaven victorious through that cross, proclaiming Christ crucified for your sins and mine, is the only worship that packs a divine bang. God looks down on all the trampling around in religious courts, all the efforts to show off, to entertain, all the exalting of man's potential, all the going through the motions without faith in the heart. And all of this, he says, is left out of his measurement. It's not in his temple. Illustrating their own emptiness, megachurch-style worship usually eliminates any cross or altar. And yet, the only worship that packs a bang pleasing to God is that which is bowing down before Christ's altar. Humbly falling before that cross, recognizing my sin. My sin caused this deep distress. My sin, then, is not some minor blemish. It is such rebellion that this curse, this condemnation of Christ Himself on the cross was needed solely to atone for my sin. Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, the sinner. And when the Holy Spirit brings to our hearts that faith, He's involving us, yes, in that worship that packs a divine bang. For in that cross, you and I are washed clean by His own blood, made the Spirit's own temple, made kings and priests unto God and His Father. The manager of the New York Yankees once paid his center fielder a splendid compliment. The reporter asked him, "Can Joe DiMaggio bunt?" And he said, "I don't know, and I won't ever find out." Such was his confidence in Jolton Joe's steady performance at the plate that he was not going to resort to a lesser strategy. Why would we resort to a lesser strategy? Yes, blasting winds can topple a forest. A raging wildfire can set a mountain ablaze. An earthquake can shatter foundations. And the world knows how to make other bangs. But like the wind, fire, and earthquake, they're just finally a lot of noise. They cannot bring anyone into the temple of God. They just trample the courts. But the still, quiet voice of God's Word is producing a hell-shattering bang. For here the Holy Spirit is silently opening the prison, setting captives free, and ushering them into the eternal jubilee of our Lord. The one altar packing that divine bang, the forgiveness of sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, that one topples Satan's dominion over us, sets hearts ablaze with joy in the forgiveness of sins in Christ's blood, and gives us a foundation so secure that nothing can shatter it. No, not even Satan. Jesus' righteousness silences the blasting crescendo of Satan's accusations. His love quenches the fire in which, by divine judgment, we deserve to be burnt. Yes, worship at His altar packs the divine bang that gives the peace that passes all understanding. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 16, 1-6, stanzas 1 and 4.
Seek and love.